Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. Jesus says this just a couple of chapters after our gospel. And he says in this chapter, a servant is not greater than his master. Now I asked the question during Holy Week, what happens when your friends turn out to be your enemies? Or at least they act that way. Psalm 41, from Jesus' lips, even my bosom friend in whom I trusted, who ate of my bread, has lifted the heel against me. These are the disciples around the table at the Last Supper. There is Peter, who will betray Jesus, and there is Judas, who will turn and become like an enemy. But what is it the servant must learn from their master? Now, our short lesson this morning is Maundy Thursday in miniature. Kind of odd that we use it during the Easter season. However, John 13 through 17 is a long discourse. It's also known as the farewell discourse. This is Jesus' last words to his disciples, the things that he wants them to remember, the final teachings of Christ recorded during his earthly ministry. And it is apt that we hear his words during this season, because we need to hear them as well. Now, when you look at the book of John, as I've mentioned before, you notice his use of repetition and what Jesus says over and over again. Four verses. What is repeated five times? Glory, glorify, glorify, glorify. And what gets repeated four times? Love. So that will be our reflection today. Glory and love. What is glory in Scripture? In Scripture, we often look at glory, especially in the Old Testament, when we think of the Shekhinah, of God's presence. The glory of God present in the cloud by day and fire by night during the children of Israel's wandering through the desert. It was God's presence, the glory of God, his presence at Sinai in the dark cloud of unknowing that Moses ascends into. It was the smoke of God's presence in Isaiah's vision of the Lord high and lifted up on the Lord's throne. And the seraphim and the cherubim just say, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." Glory in Scripture, especially the Old Testament, was the beauty and magnificence of God. His holiness, his power, his otherness. But what is glory in our day? It's being a winner. Because we just don't win anymore. How does the song go? No time for losers, because we are the champions of the world. We are the champions, my friend. Honor, high achievement, being the best. This is what brings glory. So if Jesus repeats this word five times, what is his definition of glory? God is glorified and Christ is glorified in the strangest of places. Jesus defines glory in terms of death and suffering and the cross. The beauty and magnificence of God has not left. It just shines the most clearly on the cross. Now the disciples heard these words at the Last Supper. And I'm sure these words just went right over their heads. They're wondering, is he speaking riddles? What's going on? But then as they go back to these words, after Easter, after the resurrection, it comes to the forefronts of their minds, and it gives them a totally different perspective. Post-resurrection, they say, oh, that's what he meant by glory. And that's what he meant by love. The words would have come alive to them. Glory is found in giving yourself away. Glory is found in washing one another's feet. Glory is found in the cross. A student is not above the master. If the disciples followed Jesus closely, and we know they did, with the dust of the rabbi on their clothes, they would have seen with new eyes his teaching about what the ancient concept of glory now meant in light of him. The dust of the rabbi leads to the cross. The glory of God is found in giving your life away. The words of Irenaeus. He said, the glory of God is a man or woman fully alive. But ironically, to be fully alive is to walk the path of death, the path of self-giving and self-sacrifice. Now, we can think of that in terms of those martyrs in Iraq and Syria, even now. Even in places like China. You think China's a free country, don't you? They got all that capitalism, they got all freedom, it's just pouring out. China has two categories of churches, the registered and the unregistered. If you are an unregistered church, you do not deserve to exist. And guess what they're doing to the registered churches now? They're hacking the crosses right off of the top. Because they don't want that in the skyline of China. But those who are suffering in these places, they've got glory. Glory that we cannot possibly imagine. The book of Hebrews would call them those of whom the world is not worthy. Icons of Jesus. The icons of the cross in our day. But don't we want to be a winner? Because we just don't win anymore. I don't know where I heard that, somewhere. But to be a winner is to give yourself away for someone else. Because the servant is not greater than the master. So this is the glory of God. But what about Jesus' other words? What is it to love? Hey, we know about love, right? Love, man. It's all about the love. What is love? Well, God's love must be just like ours. Scott Hosey puts it, it's just a souped-up version of human love. We think of love, and that's God, man. Love for us is whatever, whoever, wherever, warmy warm, squishy squish. But that's not the love that Jesus is talking about. He says, I want you to love as I have loved you. This is a love of another kind. It's the love from another place. It is a love that does not seek its own. It is the love that we have received from Jesus. I always quote Isaac the Syrian, let yourself be persecuted, but do not persecute others. Be crucified, but do not crucify others. Be slandered, but do not slander others. Be afflicted with sinners. Rebuke no one, revile no one, not even those who live very wickedly. Spread your cloak over those who fall into sin, each and every one, and shield them. And if you cannot take the fault on yourself and accept punishment in their place, do not destroy their character. Paradise is the love of God, wherein is the enjoyment of all blessedness. The person who lives in love reaps the fruit of life from God, and while yet in this world, even now breathes the air of the resurrection. To love as Jesus loved, that's what it looks like. And we are loved and accepted, says Brother Ramon, not because we are worthy, loyal, or boldly affirmative, but because we are needy sinners. Therefore, then, we should love as Christ loves. The Daily Office this week, in the last couple of weeks, is going through the book of Exodus. And you see that funny scene when Moses comes down with the Ten Commandments. And what are the people doing? They're getting all kinds of busy. They're worshiping calves. They're doing all this stuff. And God says, what? Time to squish them. Let me break out against them. That's a funny phrase. And what does Moses say? Hold on. Wait a minute. Do you want the Egyptians to hear about this? You brought them out of Egypt so that you could kill them? It's a funny exchange. And then the Lord changes his mind. But Moses there is being Christ-like. And he even goes as far as to say, blot me out of the book for their sakes. Take me out of the book for their sakes. Paul says a similar thing in Romans chapter 9 when he's referring to the children of Israel. He said, I'd rather be eternally condemned. Now we translate that as cursed, but that's what he's saying. He's saying anathema. I would rather be eternally condemned than have my people perish. He's being Christ-like. He's being Christ-like. Stephen Freeman says Moses and Paul, they're descending into the desert of Hades to lead their people out. They're being Christ-like. To love is to love like Christ. The holy monk Zosima and the brothers Karamazov says this in his final words before death. Be not proud. Be proud neither to the little nor to the great. Hate not those who reject you, who insult you, who abuse you, and slander you. Hate not the atheists. Remember, Dostoevsky is writing at the end of the 19th century. He knows what an atheist is, and he knows what atheists will lead to. He predicted it. Hate not even the wicked ones. Hate not the teachers of evil, the materialists. Remember them in your prayers. And say, save, O Lord, all those who have none to pray for them. Save, too, all those who will not pray. This is the love of Christ. When we love like this, it is to breathe the air of the resurrection. It is to be like the Lord. In the ancient world, when persecution was hot, this would be the first 3 centuries, there were those who would capture the clergy. The Romans would capture the clergy. And they would say, I want you to do 2 things, and I'll spare your life. The first is, I want you to burn all of your books. Bibles, scrolls, you know, they didn't have hardbound books. They had scrolls. And they were very, very valuable. The liturgical books, the chalices, the patens, the altar, burn it all. Then I want you to renounce Christ and offer a pinch of incense to the emperor. Well, we read all the good endings, good at least in terms of Christian endings, those who refused. But you know, there were many who did just that. 17th century Japan, there was also a breakout against Christians. And what they would do is they would draw a picture of Jesus on the ground, and it was called a fumi, and to show that they would renounce Christ or die, the person would go and step on that picture. A dishonor. There were many, many who died, who refused to do that. But there are also those who did that. As we speak, Syria, right now, there are those who are given a choice. Say the creed. What is the creed? There is one, no other God but Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And convert or die. Many, many die. And many, many, for the sake of their families, say the words. There is glory and there is love on each end of that. The glory is those who are giving themselves away, just like Jesus said. And the others, what do we do with them? Peter's, Judas's. We got to love them too. What about this culture we live in? This godless, secular place we live in, which has put us all to sleep. What do we do with it? We give ourselves away, and we love, because that is what Christ asks us to do.